The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Steve Cowan.
Hello and welcome to episode 144 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I am Stephen Mill and this is former Hibs and Aberdeen striker as well as the Portadown Pelly. It is Steve Cowan. How
are
you doing?
Very well, thank you, Stephen. How are you?
I'm not bad, yeah. How's producer John as well? How are you? You recovered from a big night out in London on Friday?
Yeah, just about. What a night.
John and I were in London watching the football.
Yeah.
And David Guetta.
Good. What a combination.
What a combo.
We dodged it watching David Guetta to go and watch the Scotland game. How sad is that?
I don't think that's sad. I think that's the appropriate thing to do.
But used to being sort of, you know, personalities, radio personalities and TV personalities that you've probably met David Guetta and seen him many times.
I've interviewed him once before.
There you go. So, old hat.
Yeah, exactly. John, you met David Guetta?
I've not. But I mean, let's face the facts. I mean, brilliant atmosphere, fantastic. But like all DJs, I'm pretty sure he's got a USB, he's plugged it into the back of the decks, and he's just dived about, pretending he's twiddling knobs, because that's what they all do.
What do you want me to do? Like, play off vinyl?
Come on.
Really? He's got a point. I mean, this twiddling knobs and kidding on there, adjusting the bass and the bass.
The bass. It's all about the bass.
A bass is a sort of fish, Steve. Bass is fish.
Are you sure?
It's bass.
I thought it was bass and bass.
No!
Turn up the bass.
No, it's bass.
All right, okay.
Yeah, your bass, yeah. Exactly. No, so it was fine, actually. Yeah, it was good. And we managed to find a pub in London that was showing the game.
We had to specifically ask, of course.
They were showing God knows what shite before we went in, but to be fair, they put it on and it was totally fine. So,
well, they're getting your custom, they're getting your beer.
Exactly. How much was it for a pint? I can't even remember, John.
I can't remember.
You just pay it.
I know, exactly.
But it's that awful way you've not even checked your bank account. I'm just going to go to my old bank account just out and have a look.
No,
I don't think I want to write it up.
No, exactly. Maybe just leave it. But yeah, so decent weekend. What were you up to, Steve? How's your knee?
Knee's looking good, yeah.
That's what it is.
I can lift it to here now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so yeah, it's good. Healing well.
I mean, it actually does look so much better than it did.
Oh, straight.
I know, exactly. I mean, was it not like your one of your kids or your wife or something had taken a video of you?
Yeah, my wife took a video of me. I was walking up, as you know, I do cold water swimming, and I was walking up this beach one time, and she's taking a video, and I'm getting closer, and I can hear her laughing, going. And then when I looked at the video, you could see that my knee was really just going to be ready to snap.
Yeah.
So
no longer.
It's now aligned to the heel, to the knee, to the hip. So the surgeon tells me.
Have you gained a couple of inches as well?
I've got an inch back because, as you know, I got my left one done last November. So I lost an inch. So I think I've got an inch back.
Okay, so you've got an inch back.
I'm getting on an even keel now.
How many inches is that now in total?
Height-wise,
yeah. Michael Jenkins was talking about.
Five foot ten now.
5 foot ten now. Excellent. You're growing as you get older. Yes. You're doing the opposite from what usually happens. So, right. Listen. Thanks very much for all your correspondence last week. Lots of chat about the current youth setup in Scotland. Dee McDonald. Very good discussion. Totally agree. Massive problem all over Scotland, not just the league, but for the national team as well. As a Celtic fan, really don't understand how we can't give young players a run out if we're 3 or 4 nil up, even if it's just for 20 minutes or so. Clubs and coaches only have themselves to blame. Not sure if bringing back reserve and under 18s league would benefit, but we're so far behind it seems to other European nations. Jamie saying, totally agree with the young players debate. I think it goes deeper than the academy. Local towns and cities are putting so many barriers in front of kids with no ball signs and stuff like that. And you can't play on a pitch without farming out a fortune. It's rotten to the core, says Jamie. Phil says, Belgium's academy teams are in their second tier rather than the amateur league. Should combine the lower leagues here into 2 16s and let the B teams get promoted and relegated. No harm to them, but young guys aren't going to develop playing against the likes of Whitehall Welfare and Civil Service Strollers. Dane Murray, case in point. Good spell in the championship, now showing up well and getting first team chances. He's played once against Livingston in the League Cup.
Yeah, and they're still going to go with Alexa Trusty and all these boys they spent millions on.
Exactly. So, right, BKRFC. So Stephen's point about Bruges and bringing through academy players like the three you referenced. All three of those players were exposed to men's football at an early age for playing in the under-23s in the Belgian second division. Go back to PSV team that destroyed us under Beal. Similar situation there. In Scotland, there are meltdowns at the thought of any sort of similar setup. We live in the dark ages and we wonder why the country doesn't produce enough younger players. Also, with Brexit and EPL sides unable to take the best talents from Europe until they're 18, they come and take the best ones from Scotland instead. I was just saying Fletcher Boyd has just left to go down south from Aberdeen as well, so another case in point there as well. But yeah, no, listen, keep your comments coming in, they're all very valid. Like,
I think some great comments, and just come back to the Dean McDonald ones and the reserve one. I think that's a great point as well. I mean, you know, Stephen, I've told you the story that, you know, when I went to Aberdeen to start with, you got farmed out. So you went and played, somebody else said they're about men's league, so I got farmed out to the Highland League. That was a proper man's league. 6 months later, then it was into reserve football. And I remember the reserve football, obviously we were in Aberdeen at the time, but used to, you know, Saturday morning, 8 o'clock at Pittodrie, down you went, halfway down you stopped in, would you believe, got tea and rowies, these heavily saturated salt and buttered rolls for your breakfast. Then you would go to a hotel, you get a pre-match meal as if it was a first team.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'd go to the game, so you'd play at Ibrox, you'd play at Celtic Park, you'd play at Tannadice.
Did they flip the games? Is that right? So if Aberdeen were playing Dundee and it was at Dens, the reserve game would be at Pittodrie.
Absolutely, 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday. So you were getting into that, playing at the stadiums without the crowd and all that kind of stuff. But before the game, so you'd get a shower,
mm-hmm.
and then you would go for a warm-up, and then you'd play your game and back up the road. That really got you into that mentality. So when, as a player, you were picked to go and play in the first team, you knew you were going into the stadium like Ibrox and Celtic Park. So you were half prepared for it. So all the points that all the listeners have put in, I think they're all great.
Okay. Your Ma says, I sent a video into You Being Framed. So remember we were talking about this last week, how TikTok has killed You Being Framed.
Yeah.
Your Ma sent a video in. And like, John, we were talking about this because we both saw this comment and we were like, wouldn't it be good if they could send the video in? But famously, you never got the videos back.
I know, I replied to them and said, could you send me the video? And they sent, gave my email address, but they didn't get in touch.
No, but they won't have the video because they sent it into You Being Framed.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't get it back.
Of course.
You know, we've been through this.
I haven't thought about that.
Kevin says, Stephen Milne, don't know who he is slowly turning into Ewan Cameron. So thank you very much, Kevin. But on that point, I think everybody has spotted something from last week's show that needs correcting. The
record. We'll get to it later.
No, we'll get to it now, John. We'll get to it now.
I think it's time for me to leave the building because I don't really care what you're going to talk about now.
What do you mean? Steve, it's nothing to do with you. This is nothing to do with you.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's absolutely nothing.
I'll stay then.
It's nothing to do with you. It's no slight on you whatsoever. There's one person here who's to blame, and it's not me, and it's not you,
Steve. You've got to take a part of the blame.
You have got to take... I know where you're going with this. I know exactly where you're going with
how
this.
How can I be blamed for winning the quiz last week not winning the quiz?
No, you blew it.
I didn't blow it. I got 3 questions right. You got 2 questions right. I won 3-2.
It's irrelevant.
No, it's not irrelevant.
It's like a game of football. The referee makes a bad decision in the park. You end up getting beat. You take it, you move on. And now we're into the next week. Now, but if you actually watch it back...
Mm-hmm.
And I know where you're going with this, but you blew it by saying one phrase that killed you.
What? What did I say?
You said it was 2-1.
Thank you very much, John.
You said it was 2-1. Then we took a leg from that point.
And at that point, you should have corrected me, John.
No, we trust you.
I can get stuff wrong. Listen, I get stuff wrong.
We trust you.
I get stuff wrong.
You're our leader.
So the thing is, I got that wrong, and I'm man enough to hold my hands up.
Only because you're trying to scramble about looking for redemption.
I'm not looking for redemption at all.
Well,
I'm just
talking about it then?
I'm looking for the record to be corrected.
Well, it's not going to be corrected. It's 4-1.
No, it's not 4-1. It's 3-2.
It can't be corrected. It will never be corrected.
It will be corrected.
It will not be corrected.
As you said, I'm the leader, so therefore I get to make the decision.
But
so
he's,
it's 3-2.
He's the referee.
Aye, John. What have you got to say yourself?
I think after watching it on VAR, there's two ways we can go about here. It's either null and void, or it's a bit...
How can it be null and void? I won! I got 3 points and he got 2.
There's 3 ways of going about it.
Right.
Null and void, giving the point to Stephen, or leaving as it is. And it's leaving it as it is because you made the mistake. You're the referee on the day. We all walked out the building.
But we have VAR in modern technology. We have VAR.
Yeah, but when did they use VAR? Tell me when they use VAR.
When there's been a clear and obvious error. Exactly.
Oh, hold on.
There's been a clear and obvious error
during the game. During
No.
When is VAR used other than during the game? Tell me when.
When there's a clear and obvious error.
Tell me other than during the game.
It's went to the panel, Steve. It's went to the panel.
It's went to the disciplinary panel. It's went to the disciplinary.
I will guarantee you the new. I will not play again. If this is any, I'm telling you the new. You blew it. He blew it.
I think null and void, and we say it's 3-1.
No. It's not my fault.
It's not my fault.
But it's him.
Exactly, it's him.
But that's it. You have to take it and move on.
No.
Yes, because you're now, there's a new sheriff in town now, and you don't like it.
What do you mean there's a new sheriff?
There's a new sheriff in town.
I won last week.
And you don't like it.
I won last week.
The comments that we've had, it's brilliant, the quiz is new. Stephen Mills getting beat all the time now.
Well, let's put out to the listeners, okay?
No, so, put out to the listeners. Let's put out to the listeners.
So we'll put an option on
our social media.
Option does, your arse.
Option one. We give the point to Steve, and it's 4-1. Option two, null and void. Option three, it goes 3-2.
Hold on, what's this? Is this the phone and you pick it and you're going, I'll pick that and I'll pick that and I'll press that and I'll press that?
I think that's fair.
No, life is unfair. Sometimes you've got to take the unfairness when it happens. Yes, you were robbed. I'm not doubting that. But he caused it. That's it. Arbitration over. Final decision, 4-1. No!
The people need to decide.
VAR can't be played after the game. When do you ever saw VAR
There's
after the game?
There's been a clear and obvious error, Steve.
Yes, but it wasn't examined during the game.
Because nobody noticed during the game. And that's on him.
Well, therefore, tough cheese.
What do you mean, no tough cheese? No, we are in a position that we can review things. We can
not review. After the fact.
Yes, we can.
Not after the fact.
Yes, we can.
No, because it's been logged, entered, 4-1. Decision maker says 4-1. You're just
stumbling. What do you mean decision maker says 4-1?
Tell me what you do. Why don't you concentrate and try to make it 4-2 rather than arguing about 4-1? Be a bigger man that I know you can be.
I can be.
I know you can be. I've seen you be a bigger man.
I can't. You've clearly got me mixed up with someone else.
You clearly didn't look at the group chat after last Monday, Steve.
Oh, I did look at the group chat and ignored it.
That was an absolute joke. Right. We'll see what happens. Right. As well as that injustice, lots of stuff happened in the last week. The transfer window closed and Celtic fans are not happy, even though they sold Adam Ida to Swansea, who scored for Ireland on Saturday night, by the way. And they brought in Ignacio on a free, who was definitely one of their top targets. Then they released a statement on Saturday night explaining their transfer policy, amongst other things. Throwing around money is not sustainable. I think that statement has probably gone down so badly with Celtic fans. I couldn't think of a way they could have worded it any worse, Steve.
Do you not think, though, Stephen, it's went down even worse with Brendan Rodgers? Throwing around money is not sustainable. As we've got Ida, Trusty, Engels, Bernardo. I think that's where they're going with that.
So you think, there was obviously, I don't know if you read Stephen McGowan yesterday, who writes for the Herald, knows his stuff. He was saying that, you know, there was some off-the-record briefing about basically Brendan Rodgers working his ticket.
Yep.
And, you know, that obviously came from inside the club.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that the reason Celtic aren't spending money is because they think Rodgers is off already and they don't want to give him any money.
Yeah, and again, you don't need to be, you know, a rocket scientist. Look at it. No offer of a new contract. No even there's discussions happening behind the scene. Nothing. Complete silence. Which tells me Rodgers is off. Now they know he's off, the board and the insiders. Then now they're trying to brief against him. It's like the old politics, isn't it, down at number 10?
But surely they still have to sign players.
Well, like, they do, but they're not. Rodgers has probably said, well, I want him at 9 million, I want him at 14 million, I want him at 7 million. And they're going, well,
okay,
we'll give you.
I get that, right. But surely now, and we spoke about this briefly last week, and I know you don't agree with the setup, how you've got like almost a transfer department, right? But that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Surely the transfer department just sign players then. And it's nothing to do with Brendan Rodgers. He just gets the players.
No, because they've been told by Dermot Desmond or whoever it is up right at the top, nothing goes out unless it comes by us first. So they've got the stranglehold on the, all of this. There's nothing getting put out unless they do it.
There's
and they
a
know
lot,
that Rodgers is away.
There's a lot of really, really unhappy Celtic fans.
And players.
And Maeda was away. We said this last week on the podcast. We'd heard that he'd cleared out his locker and he was gone. And
did you see his face after he missed the penalty in the Champions League? It's as if he couldn't care less.
The chat was that he had a transfer agreed.
Yeah.
It was all done. And they were waiting on getting a replacement, and obviously that didn't happen. And that's why Maeda is still at Celtic, basically.
And not a happy bunny.
And not a happy bunny at all.
So I think there's big problems there, Stephen. I really think there's big problems. And, you know, Rodgers has stated right from the day one, I'll do my 3 years.
No, the thing is,
that's what's going against Celtic and Vidium now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Celtic can't get rid of Rodgers now because...
He'll have to walk.
He'll have to walk, and he's not going to do that because there's about three. I think Stephen McGowan said there's about 3 million reasons why he won't. So, like, Rodgers will be there to the end of the season. Mm-hmm. What it looks like between now and then is definitely going to be different. Celtic still have the strongest squad in the league, I think. Do you disagree with that?
Maybe slightly, but I think you're talking paper thin.
Okay.
I mean, look, because Arthur Johnson being out just now. Tierney's done. Tierney's legs have gone. So you have two fullback problems. No strikers.
Do you think that this summer transfer window could cost Celtic the title?
Yes, without any shadow of a doubt. Now, if they hang in there and Rangers don't get their act together come the January window again...
How's it going to be any different in January? That'll just be closer to Brendan Rodgers leaving. So how are they going to spend money in January?
Well, they'll probably have to go for a couple of players because there'll be more injuries. There'll be more injury. I mean, who's to say Alistair Johnson's going to come back?
Yeah.
And as I say, I think Kieran Tierney, if you've watched that the last couple of weeks, particularly the Old Firm game, his legs have gone. He's not the same player. And he can't even last more than 75 minutes. What's that tell you? Maeda wants away. So who are you going to put up front? John Kenny? You're relying on a youngster to get you. Where do you go? Go back to where a youngster will get a chance to lead the Celtic attack.
So you think at this stage... This summer transfer window has put Celtic's dominance at risk.
At real risk, yeah. And I think if teams go back to the Scottish Cup final, where Aberdeen obviously won it, then they can see that Celtic can be got at. They'll look at the European or the Champions League game, Almaty, Celtic can be got at, and they play a certain way. And if you look at St Mirren, you know, it was only 1-0. St Mirren another day could have got a 1-8. Mm-hmm. So it's all very tight.
Yeah. Rangers, on the other hand, spent a reported $8 million on Chermiti. From Everton, going up to 10 million. Dessers is away. He's away to Panathinaikos. They've also brought in Derek Cornelius, a Canadian defender. So they've gone for it. They've spent a bit of money.
They've spent an incredible amount of money. I mean,
I think Chermiti's their biggest signing since Flo, which was, you know, getting on 25 years ago.
Is that Flo Rida?
Flo Rida, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
8 million on a guy that scored, is it three goals in 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
What a gamble. Now, for me, and I've said this to you, Dessers for me was the best striker in Scotland. And I know he would miss 25, but he would always get you 25. How they've allowed him to walk out the door, that could come back and haunt them as well. Because if Chermiti does not come up with the goods, they're in trouble.
Now, he obviously hasn't done anything at Everton. He was at Sporting Lisbon before that as well. Everton spent a bit of money on him. You think it's a gamble?
Do you know?
Oh, no, I'm asking you.
That's a massive gamble. It's a massive gamble. Paying $8 million for somebody that's maybe got 15, 20 goals. Yeah, okay, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
$8 million if somebody's got 3 goals in 2 years. I don't buy that.
The boy, Derek Cornelius, left-sided centre-half. You did say that was a weakness for them.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's got to be given a chance, isn't he? But the way the Rangers' defence was in the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks, they needed to strengthen right down the middle.
Aberdeen needed a big transfer deadline day. And to be fair to them, Kevin Nisbet, Jesper Karlsson, Swedish internationalist, and Stuart Armstrong. Good, bad, and different. What do you think?
On paper, very good. And mm-hmm. if you look at now, what's that? He's had about 15, 16, 17 signings since he's walked in the door. So Aberdeen have backed a manager. I think Jimmy Tilleen now, massive pressure. The Scottish Cup now, got to be forgotten about. If they don't start winning league games, he will be under severe pressure and could be out the door because, you know, these guys won't come cheap. I mean, I'm not sorry, it was only 300 grand for... Kevin Nisbet, but his wages must be quite high.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And Jesper Karlsson obviously is on loan, but he's on loan from Bologna.
Was he 8 million or something? Or?
Yeah,
Bologna paid for him.
Who paid 8 or 9 million for him. So. Yeah. And he's got 14, 15 caps for Sweden. Mm. The guy's not a diddy.
An Armstrong, decent player.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, he's not played since last season. He'll probably need a wee bit getting up to speed. But
what a squad they've got now.
Yes, so I think it's looking a lot more positive for Aberdeen, particularly going forward, but we'll see what happens in the next few weeks. And Tony Docherty has been appointed Ross County manager. He obviously started with a defeat against Arbroath on Saturday. Good appointment, bad appointment? What do you think?
I'm not sure. I really am not sure. Now, I know he'd done all right at Dundee in his first year.
Yeah.
Disastrous second year. So that tells you that he can only do it for 1 year at a time. And get up to Ross County, who are a team who are in free fall. I mean, that squad is in free fall. Take the boy Hale out of there. Mm-hmm. What have they got?
Yep.
Nothing at the end of the day. And then I was listening, was it the chairman or is it Stephen Ferguson,
CEO,
and saying that it's how he's embedded himself into the community and it's great for the community and what he's doing for the community. And I'm thinking, what is all that? What does that mean? What does that mean? Does it mean that because he's moved up there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what would he do, IA? That's what you'd expect to move up there. I just find it all bizarre. And because they brought John Robertson in, and I thought he'd have got the gig.
Right. Yeah, you did say that.
But he's still there, just in case.
Mm. Well, yeah, exactly.
But they're in real trouble. I mean, they're bottom of the league.
Yeah, they are bottom of the league. Tony Docherty in at Ross County. Right, let's move on to the Scotland game then. Friday night, Scotland getting a draw over in Copenhagen against Denmark, goalless draw. And I think, let's go back to producer John. When you and I saw what the team was, we were like, what the fuck is this? And I think that was with 99% of other people as well. I was like, where's Doak? Where's Gilmore? You know, there's Dykes playing up front. Ugh, like I'm not. Hanley's in. Oh God, what's going to happen here? But I think we can all concede that Steve Clarke got it right.
I had a different reaction to that. I thought it was well done because to me it looked like an old fashioned 4-4-2.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh good, he's going to have a go. He's really going to try and win this game. So I was sitting going, that's very brave and something we were needing. So I was quite happy with the team.
Yeah, I mean, well, okay.
Before the result, and obviously, but I said
99% of people, so you were in the 1% clearly. I thought, like, let's take the game through. Obviously, not a lot of chances. It wasn't a great game.
No.
However, if you'd been offered a point in Copenhagen before the game, on paper, that's the toughest game in the group in terms of they're the top seeds.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going away to them. You would have absolutely snapped your hand off for it.
Yep.
However, is there not a bit of part of us now going, actually, we could have beaten them if we'd maybe just gone for it a wee bit more? No, I guess that's the risk. Because obviously you go for it, you might leave you a wee bit.
I don't think you could have gone for it a bit more, Stephen, but I think what maybe you're alluding to is the chances we had.
Yeah.
And there was clearly the Lyndon Dykes one where he's caught, he just hit it with his right foot to the left-hand side of Schmeichel and he scores or cut across the centre-half and draw a penalty or whatever the case may be. Then there's a header
by Christie.
So we had more chances in the game to win it and maybe be a more clinical striker we could have.
Yeah. I mean, were you disappointed not to see Bowie?
I was disappointed when Hurst came on and Bowie didn't come on. You know, I think he scored those two early league goals. He got the wonder goal in the European games as well. But then him sort of benched him for a couple of games. But I thought he was worth throwing on for 15, 20 minutes just to keep the pressure on the Danish back four.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping in the Belarus game he'll get a run.
Yeah, I think there will be changes tonight. And just sticking with the actual team for now, obviously the decision and goals was Gunn. I think it was always going to be Gunn.
Yep.
Thought he did okay. He punched a couple that he could have caught.
Wasn't under a lot of pressure.
Made a decent save at the end. It was offside, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway. But, you know, was there to make the save.
A clean sheet would be giving good confidence, Stephen.
I thought Hickey made such a difference at right back.
Played really well.
I thought he played really well. Yeah, I thought we looked a lot more balanced. And I think he's a step up on Rowson. No offence to Rowson. I think he's a step up on even Johnson.
Comfortable with the ball.
Exactly. I thought Hickey made a huge difference at fullback. I thought Robertson, despite the fact he's not played all that much for Liverpool this season, played pretty well.
Gave you a good 7 out of 10.
And I thought both centre halves, I thought Suter and Hanley were excellent. Yeah,
they were brilliant. Particularly Hanley. Coming for a lot of stick, hasn't he, over the last sort of wee
while? Totally, yeah.
I thought he was arguably our best player.
Yeah. I thought him and Suter were great, yeah. In terms of the midfield, I think a lot of people were surprised not to see Gilmore in there. Ferguson came in to play alongside McGinn and McTominay. And I thought McGinn played was excellent as well. I thought McGinn had a really good game.
Yeah.
McTominay was limping a wee bit at the end, so I was a wee bit concerned. Hopefully he's okay. I think he's okay for tonight. He should be. I've not heard anything.
He's still done right. That one chance, he was wide and he's had a shot at the goalie.
Yeah.
If he squares it, again, another chance.
Exactly. Yeah, and I thought Dykes played well. I thought Dykes, he caused them problems. Yep, he obviously should have done better with that chance. But I thought he played well again. I thought he played well.
Yeah, he did all right. I thought him and Adams linked up with the best they had with the ball they had. So overall, there wasn't a bad performer, Stephen.
No.
Can't say that. And as you said, getting a point.
No, it's a good start getting the point. It'll only be a great start if we beat Belarus tonight. I would expect us to beat Belarus. Mm-hmm. They obviously got a do-in from Greece the other night. Stevie Clark talking last night saying that he was a bit surprised that it was of that scoreline. But we should be going there and winning. I know it's a neutral venue, but we should be going there and winning. And then that sets up an absolute blockbuster at home to Greece. Because obviously Greece play Denmark tonight as well.
Yep.
A draw would be great, we think. But I fancy Greece to beat Denmark tonight. But if Greece beat Denmark tonight, Denmark are all but out already in terms of trying to win the group.
As long as we do the business.
Exactly. We can only sort of take care of ourselves. Three consecutive clean sheets. Away from home, which is really good. I think that if getting that result, if we win our home games and beat Belarus tonight, you know, that should be enough.
Yeah.
There's a lot of water under the rest to go before then.
I wouldn't disagree with you, but what you've alluded to, in particular, it's a Greece game.
Yeah,
the Greece game at home.
If we can, and because if we play, we're playing them first, obviously at home, and then we've still got to go to Athens. But so long as we beat them at home and we beat Belarus tonight, and we win our other two home games against Belarus and Denmark, we can lose in Greece.
Yeah, and see the thing which I think maybe plays in our favour is that even though we'll be at home, I think Steve Clark will still be pragmatic. It won't be, you know, a charge to the sound of the guns. I think he'll still be pragmatic, stay in the game for about 70, 75 minutes, and if you either a goal up then or try and get a goal and close the game down, he'll still go that way.
We're maybe getting a wee bit carried away, but I just think that going to Denmark and getting a point is a really, really good start because, I say, it's the hardest game on paper, and it also means now that Denmark are chasing their tails. If it's a draw tonight between Denmark and Greece, or even if Greece win, Greece still need to go to Copenhagen and get something as well to match our points tally if we win our home games.
I know, but if the Danes think they're already out of it, they could chuck it and Greece will get a free hit.
Well, yeah, that is true. But then also, again, if we still win our home games, we still should be there or thereabouts. Yeah. We'd be really unlucky.
I think we're all agreed in, Stephen, is that there's opportunity.
Yeah.
There's opportunity with a good start.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, Octopus, you got any thoughts on this? Do you think are we booking the World Cup yet?
I can't mind much about the game, Steve, I'll be honest with you.
I went back and watched the highlights.
I remember us just sitting there getting steaming, and I can't mind much. I just remember us being very loud in that one.
Well, you've done very well, Stephen, because your analysis has been great. That's exactly what happened in the game.
Yeah, no, I went back and I watched the highlights, so because just to remind me of a few things. And we'll get to the VRWTF in just a wee second. But, you know, just on tonight, you'd expect some changes for Scotland, you would think. Dykes hasn't played a lot of football. Maybe you'd see a Bowie coming in there, perhaps.
Bowie and Adams together. I mean, you know, Shea Adams does link well with a bigger sort of physical striker there.
I think Doak will probably come in.
For Christie?
Possibly, or they could drop Christie deeper. I think Ferguson will probably drop out again. He's not played a lot of football for Bologna so far this season. I think he's in a wee bit of a contractual dispute with him at the moment. So maybe you could see Gilmore coming in at some point as well, I think.
He's got the players.
I think the back four will be the same, I would imagine. I wouldn't see any changes there. He might bring in Jack Hendry, because we might have a wee bit more of the ball at the back, perhaps. I don't know.
I think Suter's not bad in the ball at times. If he's
yeah, I think Suter's decent.
I don't think you need to change the back four.
Okay. Any other changes would you make? Doak in?
Tolkien possibly, and maybe Bowie to come on, you know, 50, 60 minutes, something like that, to give Dykes a rest if he plays. I mean, because two games in sort of 3 days when he's not been playing, it's a hard shift.
Okie dokie. That was Steve Clarke's 69th game in charge of Scotland, which is one more than Jock Stein. And he's only two behind Craig Brown. So he's going to be the longest serving Scotland manager ever by the end of this campaign.
And to be fair, you know, whatever they say, he got to two European finals. So, you know, he's had a bit of achievements.
So if I was to ask you right now, presuming we beat Belarus tonight.
Uh-huh.
Are we going to the World Cup, Steve?
Depends on the Greece game. It really does. I wouldn't... If you don't get beat, you're still giving yourself a decent chance. But if you get beat by Greece, I think you're under pressure.
Now obviously, Greece gave us a doing at Hampden.
Now, we do get a second bite of the cherry, don't you? Runners-up going to playoffs.
Playoff, and, exactly. And it's a one-leg semi-final and a one-leg final. So it's only two games.
Yeah, so that wouldn't be the worst alternative.
No, and I think I'm right in saying, I don't know how it works, John, or if you can even work this out, to be honest with you. Probably not. I think it's out with your capabilities. But... I think that we can still get into the playoff by being one of the Nations League best placed.
Yes.
So we've still got a chance. There's two routes. So I still think we've got a chance of doing that as well. So, fingers crossed. John McGinn also made his 78th appearance, which puts him above Alex McLeish in the all-time list, who's got 77. The sixth most capped player for Scotland is now John McGinn. Right, also at the weekend, obviously no Premiership action, a couple of games in the Championship. Raith Rovers' good form continues, beating Morton by a goal to nil. I saw lots of Morton fans. There was a clip on social media where Morton equalised. It was a set piece, looked like a corner. Ball came in and he gave a foul on the goalkeeper. I kind of thought it was a foul. I don't know if you've seen this.
No.
Because
if you touch a goalie, it's a foul. Every time it's a foul.
But the thing is, it happened. He kind of shoves the goalie, then the ball comes in, and then it's headed in. But the goalie is a wee bit
off balance.
Off balance. I kind of thought it might have been a foul. I think if that was other about, you'd be screaming for it. So,
well, you always do, don't you?
Raith Rovers obviously down to 10 men as well. So
they've started brightly.
They have started. Yep, they're joint top. Obviously played a game more than St Johnstone. But I tell you who started brightly as well. Arbroath.
Yes.
Going to Ross County and winning by 2-1. County, we've already discussed, having an absolute shocker so far. But Arbroath, again, joint top of the Championship as it starts.
Great start, isn't it? So you get the points in the bag just now. They will hit a bad run, because every club does hit a bad run at some time, but you've got 10 points now and gives you confidence. And you know, I played up at Gayfield. It's not a good place to go and play. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. It's an absolute nightmare. And when the winter comes, it's 10 times worse, because you're right next to the water and the wind and the gales are blowing. They'll be loving that. Nobody wants to go there.
They played Dunfermline at Gayfield on Saturday. Partick
Thistle. Oh, you just won't want to go there.
Airdrie on Friday night. Ross County go to Somerset to take on Ayr United on Saturday. So that's a big one for both managers. Yeah. Queen's Park, Morton. And it's Raith Rovers versus St Johnstone at Starts Park. So a top of the table clash in the Championship. So there you are. Lots and lots of matches in the Challenge Cup. I'm not going to go through them all because I can't be bothered.
I'll tell you what's interesting, though. You know how we were talking about the B-team argument as the usual B-team. Look down the results of all the B-teams that were in the Challenge Cup. Going up against men.
Yeah, exactly. So it was Alloa beating Celtic B 5-4. St Mirren, Annan ended 2-2. Did they go to penalty? Obviously, would they have gone to penalty? Oh, no, because it's league stage.
It's league stage.
Of course it is. Motherwell B got beat 4-0. Where else? Hearts B got beat 4-2 by Edinburgh City. Dundee B got beat by Forfar. Aberdeen B got beat by Montrose. Dundee United also losing. Rangers, Hibs, Kilmarnock. All the B teams. Basically, St Mirren were the only team to get a point out of the B teams. Can you read anything into that?
Just telling you, the youth that's coming through is rotten.
I actually saw a bit of a under-19s game yesterday. And it was so bad. It was rotten. I just happened to be like passing, and there was two SPFL teams, and they were playing an under-19s game, and they were both honking, like so bad. One of them was a Premiership team, and I was impressed with nobody on the pitch.
And do you know where that game we talked about, and obviously with a lot of comments as well, By the time they get to that stage, under 19, so they're 18-year-old, and they've been coached from 10-year-old to pass the ball back, pass it sideways, don't go forward, don't do this, don't do that, don't get in the box, don't retain the ball. It's all about this ball retention. It's absolutely, it's a disease. I said that last week. So the time they get to that stage, Stephen, you can't change them.
There was so many players.
Indoctrinated.
There were so many players who were like neat and tidy on the ball, but did nothing with, like, literally nothing with the ball. Passed it sideways, passed it backwards.
And you told me there was a boy there who was heavier than you.
He was fatter than me.
Right, so how can that be at that age?
I don't know. He's obviously enjoying himself over the weekend.
Well, he shouldn't have been the team.
He should
be told you need to lose weight. Yeah. But you're not playing.
He was an outfield player, by the way. He wasn't a goalkeeper.
Well, there you go.
So, there we are. Challenge Cup continues. We're not going to do the pointless thing because there was no league games this weekend and it remains the same. So let's do some VAR WTF, shall we?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Right, only one thing to really speak about, and it was the handball against Mac Johnson. And if you want a sort of definition by picture in the dictionary of someone's face who's shouting themselves, it was Max Johnson on Friday night because he was like, oh no.
And he's just on.
And he's the referee was going across to the, and I think, you know, we all thought the worst when the ref was going across to the side, because usually that means game over. Can you turn this music down ever so slightly, John? Because I feel like I'm shouting over it. There you are. So I thought this is a ludicrous decision if he gets sent off here. A ludicrous decision. And as he was going across, I was like, oh no, this is terrible. But fair play to the referee. I think he made the right call. I mean, I actually don't think he should have been booked, to be honest with you, because I thought the guy nudged him. The guy nudged him and
it did.
It hit off his arm. But it also hit up here. Is there not meant to be, if it's above the
sleeve length? Yeah. Yeah, no, listen. It wasn't,
I thought it was ludicrous.
It wasn't. Just go back to the referee for a second. I think he kept a calm head there. You know, he could have been easily, you know, swayed the home crowd and all that kind of stuff. And I'll just get him off and I'll be look good there. And even the Danish players, after the decision was made, they never really argued the point as much. They thought, you're right, referee, we didn't think it was an order off either. Yeah. So I thought it was one of the best pieces of refereeing I've seen for a long time.
Oh, no. Fair play to the boy. So, no
red card.
No, absolutely not red card. But I mean, why is that even getting referred to VAR? Why is it?
Everything does. Look at you at the start of the show.
It wasn't a clear and obvious error, though. That was not a clear and obvious error. Now, he gave the foul, which I don't even think it was a foul. It should have been a foul on him. He got shoved.
But John was a clear and obvious error.
John is it. John himself is a clear and obvious error. That's the problem. That's the problem with John.
But everything gets referred now.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, not too bad. Right. John, what are we doing now?
What are we doing now? We're doing Who Dares Wins.
Oh, we're doing Who Dares Wins. Excellent. Yeah. Great times. Right, excellent. Okay, right. So, we've got a certain topic, and we need to bet against each other how many we'll get. There was no points given out last week, was there? I don't think. Was there? Or did Steve get a point?
Steve got a point last night.
He's trying to rob me everything.
I know. I was clarifying.
It was 1-1, wasn't it?
Yes. 1-1. Right, okay. Yeah. So, what is this topic this
week? Right,
then?
Okay. Steve gets to bid first this week. Wasn't it because you went first last week? So Steve gets the bid first this week. And the topic is scorers in our last World Cup qualifying campaign for Scotland. There were only seven different scorers in our last World Cup qualifying campaign. How many do you think you can name?
Steve Cowan.
I'm first, am I?
Yeah.
So last qualifying World Cup,
I can't remember who we're playing.
Do you want me to give me the team?
Four.
You're saying four. Okay. Stephen Mill, are you going to bid more than four?
I'll go five.
Five.
Name them.
The ball is in Stephen Mill's court. Right, okay, Stephen Mill. Seven different scorers. How many can you name?
You can't tell him that. That's not the question.
I was actually going to tell you both, but then
no.
We're in the zone now. Yep. So right, okay, on you go. How many can you name? You've got five to get.
What's the time on this?
There's no time on this.
Right. We don't even have... Don't put tension music on.
I'm not putting tension on music because it keeps demonetising the YouTube stream when I put tension music on.
Okay, right, fair enough.
Little bit behind the scenes.
Okay, I genuinely cannot remember who we played. But we probably played... Okay. Lyndon Dykes.
Correct. He scored against Moldova and Austria and the Faroe Islands.
All right, okay. I don't even remember these games. Faroe Islands. I've got no recollection of playing the Faroe Islands whatsoever. I remember us playing Austria because Lyndon Dykes scored a penalty away for home in Vienna, I'm sure.
1-0-1.
Right. Moldova. No recollection of playing them. But I'll go John McGinn.
Correct. Two goals against the Faroe Islands and two goals against Israel.
Did we play Israel again?
Yep.
Scott McTominay.
Scott McTominay.
Yeah.
Sick! I knew it. I just knew the look in your face. You didn't fancy this.
Steve, do you want to have a guess? Who else is there?
Suter.
Oh.
Correct.
Yeah.
Hanley.
Correct.
Who the fuck did Hanley score against?
Christy.
He scored against Austria in the first game when it was 2-2.
Christy.
Oh. Yeah. It was our wrong. The other ones you missed out then, so you got... you got Hanley. Nathan Patterson scored against Moldova. Shea Adams. Scored against that great goal against Denmark. And the other one you might have struggled with was Ryan Fraser.
I've never got that.
No.
In a million years.
And Nathan Patterson against Moldova. So like I said, that. So there you go. It's a point to Steve Cowan.
Right.
There we go.
We need to put together our legendary Scotland team then. And we put this out to a vote. So we each nominated somebody for Scotland's greatest goalkeeper. You went for Jim Leighton. Yep. I went for Craig Gordon. And John, you went for Andy Gorham. Now, there was a vote. Up on social media, I haven't seen the results. So, John, would you like to take us through the results, please?
Okay, a couple of responses to this. CC, don't think Leighton or Gorham had to perform while playing behind Gary Caldwell, which was Henley and Swin's
my answer. That is a good point, actually.
Went
for
Craig Gordon. Craig says, Dunfermline fan, but I can't see past Gorham being the best Scottish goalkeeper ever. There you go. And P. McBee says, although it could be argued that he maybe didn't perform as well for Scotland as he did for Rangers at his peak, I genuinely think Andy Gorham was one, if not the best goalkeepers in the world. Some of the saves he made were unbelievable. It was a bit of a smash and grab here for the goalkeeper. And with 70% of the vote, the winner was Andy Gorham.
Andy Gorham.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that.
So Andy Gorham takes his place in goals for our greatest ever Scotland 11. Right. Do we want to move on to the fullbacks then?
I think we do. Do we go right? Are we playing 4? Where is the formation we're playing?
4-4-2.
4-4-2, right. Okay.
Or will we go 4-3-3? Because then we can get more strikers in.
You pick.
I think 4-3-3.
So we can go get right one. Back then?
Do you want to do both fullbacks?
Yeah.
Go with both fullbacks?
Yeah,
that might be hard to get. Oh, I could do two different votings right now.
Yeah, I know it's a wee bit extra work for you, John. So let's start with your full backs. I need a right and a left back, please. Steve Cowan.
Tom Boyd.
Okay. And is he going in at left or right back?
He'll go in at right back for me.
Okay, Tom Boyd.
And left back, Andy Robertson.
No question, Andy Robertson. Okay, that's fine. So that rules them out for me. Thank you. I will go Danny McGrain.
He was in my thoughts, but good shout.
McGrain, I'll go at left back. And at right back, I will go... I guess I have to go for Sandy Jordan, I think.
Good shout again.
What about Stuart McKimmie?
A good player.
That's two good shouts.
So I'll go Danny McGrain and Sandy Jordan as my fullback.
Well done, that's good.
Now, can I... So he played right back for Falkirk, and he did play right back for Scotland. So could I put in Davy Weir at right back?
You could put Davy Weir if you want. Yeah, exactly. If you want to lose the vote.
I thought you were going to say Stuart Kennedy there.
Yeah.
No, I did. Stuart Kennedy's an R, very good shout. But I'm going to go for Davy Weir at right back, and at left back, I will go Kieran Tierney.
Kieran Tierney, right. Okay, fair enough.
A lot of good fullbacks there.
A lot of good fullbacks. So those are the choices. You can split them up into right and left back.
Yeah,
I think that's probably what we'll do. So that's fine. So you can have your say at Big Football Scott. You can leave your comments as per usual on our YouTube channel. Anything that we've said so far that's tickled your fancy, whether you agree with us, whether you violently disagree with us, let us know as well in the comments on YouTube and at Big Football Scott. So we're building our ultimate Scotland team. Andy Gorham takes his place in goals. Our fullbacks are Tom Boyd, Davy Weir, and Sandy Jarden for the right backs, and Danny McGrain, Andy Robertson, Kieran Tierney for our left backs. Let's try and unmask a footballer, shall we? Who are right, so producer John is playing silly buggers here.
I'm not playing silly buggers.
You're playing silly
I'm
buggers.
I'm not playing silly buggers.
So what we already know is they're retired. They haven't played for Scotland or have any international caps. They played for Hibs and won a trophy with them, but not the Scottish Cup or the League Cup. Funny buggers. So, John says, I will ask again, is the mass footballer a male player? It could be a female player.
Of course, because Hibs won the league.
Hibs won the league. Yes, exactly.
And I think they won the cup as well, didn't they, Hibs, at some point?
Yeah, but they've not won a Scottish Cup.
No. So it would have to be, if it was a female player, a league championship.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Hibs won the women's top flight about 10 years ago or something as well.
And they won it last year.
So do you want to rule out whether it's a female or a male?
I think we should.
Okay, John, thank you very much for your question again. Mass footballer, are you a male footballer?
Aye.
Right.
I think it was quite obvious that it was male.
John was coming at us. Right. So it's obviously somebody who's won the championship with Hibs. So that's either back in Alex McLeish's day or when they won it under Neil Lennon.
Loads of players.
So if it's under Neil Lennon, it needs to be somebody who wasn't in the team when they won the cup the previous season. Because remember, Stubbs left and Neil Lennon took over and then they won the league. Mm-hmm. So it's a new player that's come in there.
What if it's a Hibs player of the year?
What do you mean?
They won a trophy for player of the year.
If it's a Hibs player of the year and that's what you're counting as a trophy...
The question you asked, did I win a trophy while I was at Hibs? It could have been a player of the year.
He wouldn't do that. Because then you've got no chance. It's hard enough as it is.
If that is true, I'm going to firebomb that producing studio that you sit in. Because that's just not on.
It's just an answer to... I'm just saying it could be. Because you asked the question, did I win a trophy while I was at Hibs?
Getting to ask one question.
Maybe he won a trophy at badminton.
John, getting to ask one question is a bit harsh. Can we get two?
No, because I'll make it too easy. For the next mass footballer, I'll give you one each.
Right, okay.
For the next one.
Right, okay. So get looking at the squad that won the championship, or basically who won an internal player of the month award for Hibs, basically. You're a big shite bag. Right, that's the mass footballer. Time to finish with the quiz then. Oh, you're on fire. Oh, you're on fire.
I had to fade down the mass football bed.
You had to do your job, John. You had to do your job.
Down and it was on this different... Listen, I could explain the system and have it in front of us, but it would be very long and boring and arduous. I don't have access to Zeta A and Zeta B teams, so I can't queue things up. Do you know what I mean? So I need to go on Zeta C and D, and I need to sign... carts to go to different places. It's a bit of a head fuck sometimes.
No, I'm sure it is.
So there we go. Anyway, it's time for the big quiz.
We don't have our wipes.
Well, I've given you the boards. The boards are in the studio since you moaned about that
wipes are
every
there.
Week. And the wipes. Oh, you won't get the wipes. Well, I leave you in charge of the wipes. Right. So we decide. We're going to put it out to listener vote, aren't we?
No, we're not doing nothing. It's 4-1. You look at the paper. I've got the paperwork in front of me here.
It does. I put that in. But is it null and void? Is it 4-1 to Steve, or is it 3-1?
It's 4-1. You're talking about, there's no debate.
3-2. We'll find out next week. We'll come back to this.
It's currently 4-1 to Steve. John,
why is it?
Stop shouting it.
Right? But we're going to have to decide what's what.
We decide now. It's decided.
Let the people decide. It's a democracy,
no.
Steve. It's a democracy.
No.
Is it 3-2? Is it null and void? Or is it 4-1?
I'll tell you, seriously, I'm not playing again.
Right.
I'll genuinely not play. I'll just sit here and let them win every week because you made a mistake. And you can't retrospectively go back. Let's be honest here, guys. You can't go back. It doesn't happen in football or any other sport. Game on, 4-1.
Okay.
And if he's man enough, he'll accept it.
Stephen?
Let's do the quiz.
Right.
Shit it.
What do you mean? I'm just wanting to get on with the quiz.
Right, okay, let's get on with the quiz then. Right, 5 questions. There's a bit of a theme this week to it as well. So let's start off. Oh no, I did the bed. I cut out the down to 30 seconds. Give me a minute. I'm going to get the 30
seconds.
No, I'm
putting my timer on this week.
No.
I am. I don't care. I'm not listening to you anymore. You're hopeless. I am putting.
I made it.
Where's the clock? Stopwatch, right? I've got my stopwatch ready to go.
No, it's okay, I've made it.
No, you're having a nightmare. You're not playing anymore.
I'm playing, look, I've made that and I'll wait, drop that in. I'm just importing it into Zeta
I've
now.
I've got my stopwatch.
I made it. Oh, actually, I didn't actually make it. Ryan, the Breakfast Show producer at Bowie at Breakfast, heard the podcast last week and said, I'll make it for you. And he made it for me.
I knew Ryan made it because he told me. I decided to keep my powder dry there to see if you would man up and say that you'd actually...
Oh, you know what? He's about to walk into the studio as well, probably take the glory for the 30-second timer that he made. Come on in, Ryan. We're just talking about you.
I find it hard to believe what you just said there.
He's just walked into the studio.
You're asking him to man up and you won't man up.
What do you mean?
He was
about to take credit for something that he didn't do. Was I going to take credit for it?
I said Ryan made it.
What did I make?
You made the. We're talking about your timer that you made, and then you grasped me into Stephen and I was like, I made the timer.
Did you try and claim it though?
No. Okay. I said you.
Yeah,
made it.
No, you said that. Yeah, shite bag.
No.
You said, I've got the 30-second timer. I'll just need to go and get it. Is what you said.
That's nice.
There's a load of shite bags kicking about.
I know exactly, Steve. Exactly. Can we go on with this quiz?
I'm just getting it. Sorry.
Jesus Christ, John.
You don't need it. I've got my stopwatch here and I'm playing to my stopwatch.
Yeah, you're not playing your stopwatch, Steve. You'll play to the timer.
Well, I wouldn't. I'm on the field of play.
Listen, the football players get their stopwatch out in 90 minutes or whatever.
No, but you've got it in your mind, you know.
Right.
Anyway,
no, you don't.
What's the first question?
Right, okay, right. First question. I've got the timer now. Right, okay then. Right, hold on. Right, your first question.
And this is to go 5-1.
We'll find out next week on that answer.
No, we'll not be finding out.
Right. Okay, your first question. Like I say, there's a theme to it this week. What was the score the last time Scotland faced Belarus? See if this isn't 30 seconds, Ryan. I've not even timed it myself.
Sorry, I'm timing it.
Oh, Steve.
He is actually timing.
Just so you'll know.
Have you both written down something?
10 seconds. No. 10 seconds.
Right. Steve, I was going up the way.
Look. Yeah, you've done it wrong. You've done it wrong.
There you go.
Well done.
Well done, Ryan.
Thank you.
There you go.
Cheers, Steve.
Right, there you go. So, happy with that? Yeah, you both got something written down.
Yeah.
1-0 right, Scotland.
1-0 Scotland.
And I have also gone for 1-0 Scotland.
Is it both wrong?
And Marshall has saved! Yes!
It was 1-0 Belarus.
Oh, no!
1995,
was
it?
No.
No, 98, I think it was.
No, hold John. No, John. John. Hold you, John.
No, John. No, John, I've got it here on the head-to-head. Scotland versus Belarus, head-to-head. What are you trying to claim here?
Because I remember we played Belarus at Hampden when Walter Smith was the manager and Alexander Hleb, the boy that played with Arsenal, scored.
Yeah.
1-0.
2005.
Right.
2005.
So what are you talking about 1995 for?
Sorry, I was getting mixed up, but it was...
Honestly, what is going on behind the scenes?
Anyway, it's a shambles, eh? It's a shambles.
No, no. No, no.
Right, question number two.
Who did Belarus play?
Who scored the goal for Belarus?
Right. Just as well not write that
down. Yeah, exactly.
Right, okay, your next question is, how many Scotland internationals manage in League One?
League One in England or League One here?
Scotland, League One.
Scotland international as his players?
Yes. Yeah.
Fairly straightforward questions. Come on. So. Oh, I don't know. Whoa. What do you mean they go first?
You go first.
All right, okay. I've gone for three.
You've gone for three. Steve?
Two.
One of these is right, and that person is right, and is going 1-0 up. Steve, how? Who's your third one? I think you've went for John Rankin in your head, Stephen, haven't you? So you went, right, so give me your work.
So
it's
Paul Hartley and Gary Naismith. Yeah. But then I was like, I couldn't think of another one, but then I just thought I'd add another one just in case.
Okay. You should have done what I'd done.
Yeah, what?
I just guessed.
Brilliant.
That was a total
guess. I had no idea.
1-0 to Steve Cowan.
It's a joke, man.
Question three.
How is it a joke?
Here's the top bin coming in for Stephen Mill.
Because he just guessed.
So?
Move on. Top bin. He wants to do it. He'll do it.
Right. Next question.
He's got to do it. What sort of theme is this as well?
It's a kind of World Cup Scotland theme I've got going on.
Next question,
who
John.
Who was the last player to score at the World Cup for Scotland? There you go. Oh, he's both got this, I think. He's both went straight to the pads. You've got something.
Because that's an easy question.
Right.
I'm guessing again, I've got to be said.
You're guessing again.
Guessing again, right. Right, okay.
Oh, no, hold on.
The bed is still going. Sorry, I stopped it. Hurry up and write down, though, Steve.
How are you allowing this?
Because I thought he'd written down you have 30 seconds.
This is about 50 seconds he's had.
No, he's not. Right. Okay.
What's it say on your timer? About 45 minutes.
I didn't do it this time.
That's a joke.
Right, what's your answer?
No, you go first.
Stuart McCall.
Oh, thank God.
That's wrong.
Who did you have right?
John Collins.
John Collins.
Right. Stephen, who
you the answer is Craig Burley.
The answer is Craig Burley.
Well, was that Morocco?
1-1.
Norway.
Right, okay then. Right, next question.
1-1.
Are you sure? I was sure.
What are we on? Question four.
Question four. Does anybody want to take a top bin?
Steve, you're thank you.
Normal question.
You probably get it fucking right anyway. So
okay, right. Your next question is:
fake it till you make it.
Name any of the teams that ended up above Scotland in qualification for the 2002 World Cup. Name any of the teams that ended up above Scotland in qualification for the 2002 World Cup.
I think this is really unfair.
How's this unfair, Steve?
Because
you've got
Stephen Mill is really into
what
Scotland.
What age was Stephen?
No, Stephen Mill's really into Scotland and World Cups and all that.
I was like 11 year old at that
but
time.
But he's into all that kind of stuff.
What do you mean I'm into all that kind of stuff?
If it was club football, he hasn't got a clue.
Well, that's not true. There was a club football question and you guessed it.
So, but it was still World Cup based.
And you got it right.
It's a joke.
Right, okay, right. I've left the timer on this time. There we go. Right.
Yeah, well, after the joke that was last time, yeah, exactly. Just getting to change your answer. It's me to go first.
Right, you go.
Belgium.
Belgium.
France.
And Marshall is saved!
2-1, yes. Stevie boy.
Yep. What's the other team, Stephen? Go on.
Croatia.
Well done. That's quite impressive. No. Quite impressive. Right.
It's a joke!
Right, here we go with that decision.
You know, I remember we were 2-0 up against Belgium at home and we drew 2-2.
Right. 2-1 to Stephen Mill. Steve Cowan, do you want to take the chance and try and go to a tie break, or do you want to go for your top man?
So basically you need me to get this wrong and you to get it right to go to a tie break, or if you're not a big massive shite bag, you can take your top bin question and put the pressure back on me.
Honestly, I thought it was Celtic FC putting out another statement there.
Yeah.
It really was. You know, gobbledygook, rubbish.
What you want?
I'm happy. I'll just take a normal question.
Normal question.
Right, okay.
Normal question.
You're relying on me failing as opposed to you doing well.
No, I need to get it right.
You do, but
so there you go.
I know, but you need me to fail.
Doesn't matter. No, but I'm still no one. I need to get this right to stay in the game.
Yeah, I know. But you also need me to fail.
I'm not worried about you.
Right, okay.
Question number 5. How many of the current Scotland squad play in Italy? How many of the current Scotland squad play in Italy?
Now, this is going to be interesting. This is going to be interesting.
This is going to be interesting.
Okay, Steve, you go first.
5.
Okay.
Steve Cowan has said 5. Stephen Mill, what have you said?
6.
One of you is right.
One of you is right. Correct. Well, I know why Stephen's saying it's interesting. There was a clue in the question which said current Scotland squad, because in the current Scotland squad we have Billy Gilmore,
yep,
Scott McTominay,
yep,
Lewis Ferguson,
yep,
Lennon Miller,
yep,
Shea Adams,
yep,
and one other, Josh Doig. So Stephen Mill wins. Came in, Ralston and Tierney were injured, so Josh Doig came
scandalous
into the squad, which
scandalous
means
about that. That was just that. I would say probably one of the most straightforward victories I've ever had on a quiz. Straightforward. So, you know what, Steve? I'm going to be the bigger man, right? It's 4-2. I'll give you last week.
You right? Don't need to give me it. I won it fair and square.
Well, you didn't win it fair and square. You know, you admitted earlier on that I was robbed.
Why not just concentrate when you've got a victory? Why are you always looking back? What is who are you? What football club do you associate that with?
No, but listen, it's... I'm just saying this
but
is what
I'm hard done by.
I'm not hard done by at all.
You're not even celebrating your victory.
I am celebrating.
The tune's playing and everything.
Exactly, but I'm just.
And you're back having a go at me again.
I'm not having a go at you at all. I'm just saying I'm being the bigger man and giving you the victory last week, even though it's tainted, even though it's got an asterisk next to it. I'm going to take it on the chin. And
taking on the chin.
What do you mean? You were going on about taking it on the chin earlier on. You're obsessed with taking it on the chin.
It's done and dusted.
You couldn't stop talking about my chin.
Enjoy your victory.
I'm enjoying my victory.
You looked like the tears in your eyes.
I said it was
the strain in your voice.
I said it was the most straightforward victory I've ever had. It was so straightforward that I
because it was rigged.
It wasn't rigged. How was it rigged?
A World Cup beneath Scotland. He loves Scotland.
So?
Are we getting to another situation like we had with Ewan? Remember the Father Ted debacle?
Ah, that was a joke.
That, like, when we then started giving Ewan questions about movies, and Ewan couldn't even answer questions about movies, and he kept getting beat on questions about
movies. You're winning. Scotland World Cup,
I mean, it's so parochial. There we go, looking.
What do you mean? So you want, like, a worldwide football quiz?
Yes.
Right, so
really
test
your knowledge.
Do we want to go worldwide? Like, because generally,
so it can be anything.
We generally, because it's the big Scottish football podcast, we keep it the Scottish football. But would you like to go international? So we did this
so,
as well.
What about when we like? So if you were asking questions about, like,
enjoy your victory.
I am enjoying my victory.
You know, you're still on at me.
No, I'm not.
You normally give it big speeches and everything. Where's your speech?
Well, listen, everybody knows. Everyone knows what's happened. They can see
but
it with their own
eyes. But you normally have a speech.
Everyone
well, you
knows
don't normally have a speech because you normally get beat. But anyway.
No, but everyone knows what happened last week.
Right, so just to clarify, it's 4-2.
We don't have to put
a public vote.
No,
there's going to be no asterisks.
No.
There's going to be no asterisks.
There will be an asterisk. But I'm willing to be the bigger man here and take it on the chin and let Steve have his hollow victory of last week, knowing that I won comfortably again today, and I'll win comfortably again next week, and the week after that, and the week after that, and that.
So you're going to win 3 in a row now?
3 in a row.
Okay.
Just a wee heads up, by the way, next week's podcast will be out on Tuesday, because I'm not here on Monday. So, Just a wee heads up for you. We'll be back next Tuesday with a big Scottish football podcast. We've got a wee Monday off, or I do anyway. So there we are. That is it for this week on the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Keep your shouts coming in for the Mass Footballer, please. And also, you can have your say as we are building Scotland's greatest ever 11. The fullbacks are out. You'll be able to vote on them a wee bit later on in the week once John actually gets his shit together. And yeah, we'll be back next Tuesday for another Big Scottish Football Podcast. We'll, of course, have all the reaction to the weekend's games. We're back to club football at the weekend and building up to the big European matches for Celtic, Rangers and Aberdeen. We'll have all of that next Tuesday on the Big Scottish Football Podcast from me, Steve, Sweaty Octopus. Catch you then. Bye-bye.